Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
Well, I'm good, Robbie. How about yourself?
Are we doing Southern accents this episode?
I figured if any episode was going to be, it was going to be this one.
I guess that's appropriate. I'll start talking in one, too. All right, before we get into this week's episode, I want to remind you guys, please... subscribe, rate, review us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. It will really help us out, gets us more listeners, gets us more people paying attention to the show. We really appreciate it. Really helps us out. So the best way you can help us, we read every single review on that iTunes. It's a delightful place to get all your podcasts.
We actually read the reviews while we're on our horses.
I have a lovely stallion. He's black, except he has one little white spot right on his eye. It's really cute. Cute little horse.
I think I saw a horse like that at the rodeo last night.
You went to the rodeo last night, Matt? How was that?
It was a lot of fun. I just wanted to hug all the little calves.
Hug all the calves? But them's for eating.
No. These were the ones they chased after and, pulled to the ground.
Oh, the calves. They're too little. The calves they torture for your enjoyment, you mean?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm going to drop that. I'm not going to do it the rest of that.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
I could honestly do the entire episode like that, but I don't think anyone would enjoy it but me.
Yeah, now we have no listeners left. If you're still with us, thank you. Love of God, thank you for putting up with that.
This week's episode is Colonel Homer. If you hadn't sussed that out by our ridiculousness, it is episode 8F19. Originally aired March 26th, 1992. Written by Matt Groening. Only episode he's gotten solo credit on.
Well, obviously he knows what he's doing then.
He's co-written a couple other ones and contributed to others, but this is the only one. He's the only credited writer. Directed by Mark Kirkland. Finished 22nd in the ratings. Nielsen rating of 14.8. Approximately 16.63 million viewing households. I do not understand Nielsen ratings. Like, last episode, it was almost the same rating, but it was 13 million viewing. This is 16? How does it get 3 million more? Doesn't make any sense.
Obviously, the people who are watching weren't good, or as good. You know, obviously, it was like old people and children instead of, you know...
the coveted 18 to 34 year old.
18 to
49. Okay. It's the highest rated show on Fox that week. The chalkboard gag. I will not conduct my own fire drills. I don't see a downside to it.
I guess if you tried to do it during class, it wouldn't be that great. But
preparedness is important, Matt.
That's true, especially the sand bucket and the hose lengthener.
Mm-hmm. Number one and number two things you need in fire drills. Yep. Sand bucket and hose lengthener. Couch gag. Everyone falls into the couch. They sit down and they fall into it. They legs, ears tucked behind their legs.
Pretty cool. I liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. The guest star, Beverly D'Angelo, as Lurleen Lumpkin. She apparently wrote both Your Wife Don't Understand You and I Bagged a Hummer in under an hour.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, like that, when she was auditioning for this role, they were like, okay, well, she had played Patsy Cline in Coal Miner's Daughter and done she had sung in that. So they did a singing test for her, and she took an hour, wrote both of the songs, and came back. They're like, yeah, she's probably can do this. She's probably good for this. She also stayed with the writers and pitched gags for the episode.
Well, she is a pretty, accomplished comedic actress. I mean, look at Vacation.
Yeah, she's in all the Vacation movies. Does a great job. And they actually, when designing the model for Lurleen, they were taken aback by how they usually, like, it doesn't matter how pretty someone is in real life. If you try and make a model, like, they couldn't make pretty Simpsons characters, like classically pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, wow, they made a model that looks pretty. Yeah. Doesn't look weird.
First pretty character on The Simpsons. Congratulations.
Yep. Episode begins. Simpsons going to the movies, to the Googleplex, where there's many popular takes on, was it Honey, I,
Honey, I Hit a School Bus.
Honey, I hit that one. And then there's an Ernest one too. Ernest versus the Pope. So a lot of little one-off gags about movies, movie parodies and stuff.
Plus, eventually,
Look Who's Oinking, of course. The kids and the Marge decides that the kids, you decide to see a movie, and the parents will go see a movie. The kids go see a Space Mutants movie. I forget which number it was, even if they didn't number it. It was like 5 or 6 or something. Homer and Marge end up seeing the Stockholm Affair after Look Who's Oinking is sold out. The Stockholm Affair is a tense political thriller, which Homer is disappointed in. He doesn't want a political movie, apparently. And he kind of takes it into the movie, loudly complaining for much of it.
Oh, this movie's too complicated. Hey, the floor is sticky. Who's that guy? What did that guy say when I said, who's that guy? Oh, that submarine's so fake. Look, you can see the strings. An octopus! What? I think that guy's a spy.
Well, of course he's a spy. You just saw him go through spy school.
Oh, wait! I heard how this ends. It turns out the secret code was the same nursery rhyme he told his daughter. Hey, it's pretty obvious if you think about it.
Oh, shut up, Homer! No one wants to hear what you think!
I feel like that should be on a card carried by everyone at all times. Oh, okay, that's right. No one wants to hear what I think. Never mind, just kidding. This is really important.
We do a podcast, Matt, where people literally just listen to us talk for 45 minutes.
And I don't understand it, but I appreciate it.
And Homer's... Bart and Lisa see space mutants, and Lisa's terrified by the gore. Homer is actually affected by... Like, he's hurt. I mean, he's being a jerk. No one likes the people who talk loud in movie theaters. And he's being a complete jerk. And I guess, you know, Marge embarrasses him in front of everyone. It hurts his feelings. Homer does kind of have, is a softy in that, like, you know, someone insults him. He is wounded by it. They drive home, kind of a tense silence. Bart does draw an angry face on the back of Homer's head. Something pappy? What does he say?
Is it one unhappy pappy?
One unhappy pappy. And they get home, and Homer, you know, expresses how angry he is and sad, and he drives away into the night.
Well, because before he carried himself with a quiet dignity.
Yes, he's been robbed of. He's been robbed of his quiet dignity, like when he revealed the ending to the movie while sitting inside of it. So he drives off, leaving the kids and Marge home, wondering where he's going. We see him just kind of drive. It's late at night. Got the gag about Flaming Pete's. You know, he sees a sign about Flaming Pete's coming, and it ends up Flaming Pete's is burnt down. Aww. He has bad smells. He drives by the sulfur plant and open sewers and...
The dump,
yeah, the town dump. Eventually, he ends up at a bar called Beer and Brawl, which, good name. That's a good name. Yeah. He goes inside. He's like, ooh, redneck bar. Goes in, orders a Duff. They don't have Duff. They only have something called FUD.
Duff, please.
We don't sell Duff. We sell FUD.
Okay, FUD me.
So, we see the introduction of FUD, and he's in, was it Spittle County? The first time we've seen Spittle County. It is that very stereotypical redneck bar. They exist. That is, this is not... there are places that are like this. If you guys have never been in one, you're not really missing out. But, everyone's fighting. There's beer bottles being smashed on people. A yodeler comes up on stage, immediately knocked out. And then... we meet Lurleen Lumpkin.
Our next act is our very own singing waitress, Lurleen. So I'm afraid drink service will stop for just a few moments. They're all yours.
Stupid Marge, tell me to shut up.
Thank you. Tonight I'd like to try something a little different. It's a song I wrote while I was mopping up your dry blood and teeth. You work all day. For some old man, sweat and break your back.
Yeah.
Then you go home to your castle, but your queen won't cut you slack.
That's true.
That's why you're losing all your hair. That's why you're overweight. That's why you flip your pickup truck right off the interstate.
That's right. Except for the pickup truck.
There's a lot of bull that hands you. There's nothing you can do. Your wife don't understand you. I do. No, your wife don't understand you, but I do. I said no one understands you, but I do.
I think it needs to be said that, like, Beverly D'Angelo does an amazing job at this, the singing, like the songs in this, like that, it, like Homer's Barbershop Quartet. This episode does not work if the songs aren't good.
That's true. I mean, honestly, if Beverly D'Angelo was an actual country singer, I might listen to country music.
But her, like, her singing is great, and that song is really good, and it really sells Homer's feelings about, you know, about how he feels about Marge and how he feels about his family, and it kind of, and her songs really do sell this episode. Like, if they aren't good, it doesn't work. And I thought you should include at least one of them because it's very important. We go to commercial with Homer talking to Lurleen, saying, you know, telling her how impressed he is of her and asking where the bathroom is.
Oh, and then when we come back, Homer is still listening to Lurleen, and he basically says that, oh, that's a pretty name. And she says, oh, you think so? And he says, oh, but I forgot. Sorry. Homer then leaves, obviously still pretty drunk. He drives right home the entire way humming the song. And he gets home to Marge, who has, of course, stayed up what appears to be the entire night worrying about him. And Homer is beyond being mad at this point, which, by the way, side note, recent studies have proven the best way to get over your anger is just forget about it. So obviously this tactic worked for them. Homer is, of course, still a little drunk, it looks like, and is still obsessed with the song. So he tells Marge, oh, I've had enough of the fuss and the feud, and let's get down to some loving. And Marge is, you know, she's still taking a little bit of back, but she's like, okay, that's fine. We see Homer at work the next day, turning power on and off to random parts of the city to the tune of the song. I'm sure everyone appreciated that. We see him bowling later that night, and apparently he's singing the song to his ball and bowling in 280, which is frankly phenomenal. And yeah, of course, once everyone else notices that.
That's like a professional bowler score. That people bowl 280 are, you know, that's what they routinely bowl is near 300. So
yeah, that's like, you don't miss a pin. You may get a spare on occasion, but you don't miss a pin is 280. So yeah. You know, that's pretty amazing. Of course, when Lenny sees this, he begins to sing to his ball. I don't think it helped. Sorry, Lenny. Homer is obviously at this point completely obsessed with the song. So he goes and hunts down Lurleen and tells her at the trailer park, of course, where it's been, you know, was it 14 days since their last tornado? He tells her, I have not been able to get your song out of my head. Where can I get a copy of it? And she tells him, oh, you know, it's up here with all the rest of my songs. Sorry, gotta read them from my giant book. Let's see. I'm basting a turkey with my tears. Don't look up my dress unless you mean it. I'm sick of your lying lips and false teeth. So those are a selection of Lurleen's titles. But of course, she doesn't have them even written down anywhere. So Homer takes her to a record your own CD booth, which were these a thing in like the early 90s? Because that seems like before CD burner technology. So it would be unlikely to be... to work, I would think.
I think that it's a reference to Elvis, because Elvis did, like, he went to like a little tiny thing like that in his day, that version of it where you record like a vinyl single.
Oh.
And I think it's a reference, like, hey, look, now we do it with CDs.
It's so funny because I get the feeling that back then that people were like, oh, that's so funny, you can't do that with a CD. And then, you know, 8 years later, it's like, oh yeah, you could obviously do that with a CD. Why couldn't you? So it doesn't seem as incongruous as it would have probably back when this first aired.
Yeah.
But luckily, they are overheard by a gentleman who offers to take the CD to his brother in Weevilville to be played on AM radio, KUDD. And that dial's got cud on it. Oh, God. I feel pretty just saying it. Anyway, the radio station plays Lurleen's song, and the citizens of Springfield are enraptured.
This is KUDD 570 AM. Hey, don't touch that dial. You've got cud on it.
Work all day for some old man. Sweat and break your back.
For the next half hour, beer's on the house.
What'd you say, Mo?
Nothing.
I thought I told you to stay away from my sister.
But your queen won't cut you slack.
Oh, here's $50. Take her to the Copa.
Now you're talking.
It's payback time.
The heartache and the sadness that's buried deep inside.
Oh, puts this whole ride into perspective, doesn't it?
No one understands you, but I do.
So as we see, Lurleen's song is profoundly affecting every single member of Springfield's, every single person in Springfield, but even crusty old Mo gives away free drinks. Krusty gives money to Sideshow Mel, which is unprecedented. And even one of the many, many riots at Springfield Penitentiary is cut short. Of course, Marge is a little, you know, trepidatious. The kids, however, love Lurleen. Well, at least Lisa does. Bart thinks she's taking time on the radio away from shock jocks because, of course, that's what Bart loves.
Of course.
But like I said, Marge is trepidatious. She's worried that what's going on. She doesn't like Homer spending so much time with Lurleen. But luckily Homer, he is able to pretty much just brush right past Marge's concerns and say, "Oh, don't worry about it, Marge. It'll be fine." Homer then goes to see Lurleen and tell her how people have reacted to her music. And Lurleen says, "Oh, everyone's been calling. I believe I have a selection of her friends and family. Mama, Daddy, the triplets, Vonda May, and Piney Joe."
Piney Joe. Gotta go with Piney
Joe. Yep. And Vonda May, of course. Homer says, or Lurleen asks Homer to be her manager because apparently this is the big time. AM radio around here is where the big stars come from.
Now, Homer, I want you to be my manager.
Really? Well, I should warn you, I'm not great with figures.
That's okay.
I make a lot of stupid decisions.
Nobody's perfect.
I did bad in school.
I didn't even go.
My personal hygiene has been described as...
Homer, you'll be a great manager.
Which I'm pretty sure he just listed off all the reasons he would not be a good manager. But as we'll see, Homer lucks into doing a great job. It's the usual Homer luck.
Yeah, he does. He's not a bad manager.
He really isn't, surprisingly. Of course, they immediately go out to buy Homer a brand new suit, because when you're a country music manager, that's what you need, is a great looking suit. I believe this is a reference to Colonel Tom Parker, you said, Robbie?
Yes, yeah. It's Elvis's manager. He was very much like, you know, that caricature of the big character, big manager kind of guy.
The super duper fancy suit.
Yeah, and I think also, I'm not sure, I think he ended up screwing Elvis in the end. I forget. No.
In that case, Homer is not like Colonel Tom Parker, but the suit is fantastic. If you haven't seen it, it's all white with a bunch of silver on it, and apparently it's made of a space-age material that is actually cleaned by sweat. So maybe for once Homer won't smell quite so bad.
Yeah, I was correct. Parker was taking way more money than he was supposed to from Elvis.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
So when Homer gets home that night, it's obviously, once again, very, very late. Marge is once again waiting in bed, naked this time. So I don't know what she had in her mind. But Homer comes in his special new suit, and Marge is incredibly distraught and asks him, you know, are you having an affair with her? No. Have you kissed her? No. Has she kissed you a couple of times? Who bought you that suit? I don't know. Was it Lurleen? No, I think it was Lenny. Yes, Homer. Lenny bought you the suit.
Lenny bought him the suit.
We all love Lenny, but we all also know that's not true.
And this is kind of the crux of this episode, is the fact that Marge doesn't... I don't know if she doesn't trust Homer, but she certainly does not trust Lurleen.
Well, I feel like it's not so much that she doesn't trust Homer, but she doesn't trust in Homer's... Homer's own confidence. Yes, yes, yeah. His common sense and confidence. She doesn't think that he will be able to stand up to temptation. So his mettle, his willpower, she does not trust in, which is kind of sad because in the end, she, you'll see. Of course, Homer is a little bit upset at Marge and said, "This is my boyhood dream to manage a beautiful country singer." And we learn, I believe this is the first time we learned that one of Homer's boyhood dreams was to eat the world's largest hoagie, which he did. So congratulations on that. That's one of my boyhood dreams as well. Of course, the Homer goes to bed with Marge, and we fade to black.
We come back. We find Homer at a recording studio with the family, and a real, quote-unquote, real recording studio. It's still a dump, but it's enough to that they, I think, what, Buddy Holly came there and said, I'm never recording in this place.
I believe he called it a dump, just to be fair.
A dump. It is a dump. But Homer has taken their entire life savings to pay for this recording time. Which, of course, Marge is upset about, although I don't know how much their life savings are at any given time. I imagine it's not actually that much, but it's still upsetting, I think mainly because he didn't consult Marge with it. The family's there, and Lurleen records a new song for the first time, singing I Bagged Me a Homer, which I think everyone else except for Homer understands the double meaning in that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and Marge actually is, like, she's so angry, her teeth grinding is coming through on the recording, which is a great little bit. You know, Bart is screwing around in the recording studio, Lisa is actually playing sax on the recording, but they record this album, we see, like, a little montage of them getting records ready, with, Bart and Maggie and Lisa all contributing their own little parts to, putting the records in their sleeves and all that.
Oh, Maggie.
I know, little Maggie. Homer arranges for Lurleen to be on TV, which is the TV show ends up being like a parody of Hee Haw. It's called Yahoo, I believe. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yahoo. It's just Yahoo! As bad as regular Hee Haw, which is also pretty terrible. We end up seeing Homer alone in Lurleen's trailer, in the trailer park. And Lurleen pays Homer a compliment.
Guess what, Lurleen? I got you a gig on TV.
Oh, Homer, you're as smart as you are handsome.
Hey! Oh, you meant that as a compliment.
And then Lurleen she says, oh, I have a new song, and I want to sing it for you. Homer does not pick up on the subtle message of this song whatsoever.
Homer? There's a hidden message to this song that you may have missed. Really listen. Bunk with me tonight.
Uh-huh.
Bunk with me tonight.
Right.
I'm asking, will you bunk with me tonight?
Lurleen!
That's right, Homer J.
I gotta think about this.
I think some of my favorite bits in all the series are just Dan Castaneda playing that straight man, right? Uh-huh. Yeah?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah? I think that every time. It makes me laugh every time. So, obviously, Lurleen has revealed her intentions. She wants Homer. Homer comes home. Obviously, kind of stressed out, not sure what's happening. Marge makes kind of a plea for Homer, you know, as he's getting ready, he's putting on his fancy suit that sweat cleans. She's trying to make a plea. Like, Homer, what's, you know, she's trying to, like, have a heartfelt talk with him, and he's kind of blowing her off because he's really worried about, you know, managing Lurleen and getting everything ready for this TV show, plus all the stuff Lurleen dumped him at her trailer. And Marge is like, finally gets his attention and brings in Bart and Lisa. Lisa. I know her name, Matt. I know Lisa's name. I got it.
Sure.
I do. Brings them in to try and make this, like, you know, look at your family. Look, don't leave us behind. And Homer just kind of is like, you know, kind of just moves past them. He's busy. He wants to get going.
I think what it is he doesn't want to think too deeply about it, because he kind of has this I gotta go type thing.
Yeah, and that's kind of how they paint him this entire episode, is like he's innocent, naive, and this stuff is troubling to him, and he doesn't like to even think about it. Like, it's too complicated. Like, how is that's me reading into it a little bit, but that's what I would say. Bart does make the comment, like, as much as I don't like that man right now, you gotta love that suit. I think that's what he says. Yeah. Yep. That suit is pretty spectacular. So Lurleen appears on Yahoo. We see lots of jokes about, and that's even more outdated now, because Hee Haw, even at the time, was not super topical. And now, hee-haw, I've not seen it on. Is it maybe it's on? Is it on television anywhere? Maybe like CMT or something at late at night.
Maybe, but I've never just seen it on television.
Yeah. Ever. No, yeah, on YouTube. Go look it on YouTube and you see it is exactly like this. It is full of really bad, dumb jokes and people getting hit in the butt and stuff like that. Lurleen performs. Homer is, you know, backstage. A recruiter comes to him and says, I want to buy your contract. He immediately shuts him down. Homer is very adamant that he is going to be the one managing Lurleen. He meets her in her dressing room and
she locks them in.
And she kisses him on the lips.
What's wrong?
My whole romantic life is flashing before my eyes.
Gross. Thanks for dinner. Ooh. No.
At least could I have my dollar?
I love you for the rest of my life.
I'm sorry, Lurleen. All I wanted to do was share your beautiful voice with other people. And I've done that. Now I better get out of here before I lose my family. Just so I don't wonder, you would have gone all the way with me, wouldn't you?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm laughing through tears.
the little pained... Okay. Oh, so good. Sells it really well. Homer leaves, goes back to Marge, makes up with her, and Lurleen has written a new song on the spot, lamenting the fact that, you know, she didn't get Homer, but, you know, Marge should know that, you know, she has a good man. And that's how the episode ends, with Homer throwing his hat over the camera. And
when Homer they go and Marge to snuggle.
Embracing. Yeah, they go to snuggle. Homer and Marge embracing in bed with Lurleen singing. It's a good episode, Matt. It's a lot of stuff in it. A lot of, you know, singing and plus the Homer and Marge kind of relationship. And, I would say it's better than I remember, but it's as good as I remember.
I would absolutely agree. Yeah. Even when I was a kid, I really enjoyed this episode. It could have been because my parents forced me to listen to country music whenever we were in the car, but, you know, it really struck a chord with basically Homer. This is a great episode for him just because this is the perfect example of how Homer really just wants to do well by everybody. He wants to be a good husband, but he wants to have fun. And I think one of the best parts about this episode is that it's all about striking a balance between Homer getting to do something that he really wants and he thinks is fun and enjoys, but still maintaining his relationships and responsibilities to his family. And I think in this particular episode, Homer strikes that balance extremely well. He walks right on the line. Maybe he tips over the line a little bit, but he always stays solidly on the side of his family. And we haven't talked about it in a while, but I feel like the people at the beginning who were like, oh, the Simpsons are teaching our kids terrible morals. No, this is exactly the kind of episode you show somebody who says that, and they'll be like, oh, well, I guess not.
Yeah, it's very accurate about Homer. Like, he's innocent, naive, but and often does bad things without really realizing it, but in the end generally goes and does the right thing. And this is the first true, I think, Temptation of Homer episode. Like, Homer's Night Out, I don't really consider one because it's just dancing. It's not like it's super innocent. This is his kind of life on the fast lane kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it's aided by the fact that it's several seasons later and it's, you know, has the excellent songs. Beverly D'Angelo does an amazing job as Lurleen. There's a lot of, you know, Southern humor, which both of us grew up in the South. And so those stereotypes are really funny to us because you may notice we are not good old boys. You may notice neither of us matter. We are of the South, but we are from the South, but we are not of the South, I guess would be the way to phrase it. But I am interested to see where we rank that. It's gonna be difficult. It's gonna be tricky. We will rank it at the end of the show. Next up, my favorite episode. Please keep sending in submissions. Simply send in an email to send an email to simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com explaining why any particular episode is your favorite. And we'll read it when we get to that episode. Really appreciate it. Still got some coming in. Like to always, of course, see more. Next up, comments from the news group. More discussion about Smithers and Burns. Just never ends.
Well, it's obviously like, you know, really important to people.
I guess so. Like 20, like everything else is like a couple replies and then it moves on. This is like 20, 25 replies, all of the same posts, just on and on and on and on and on. I don't understand. I guess people are really obsessed with it. It's just like, I think it's like the same thing about Where's Springfield. It's the same, like it's that level. And I think it's because the show doesn't tell them. It's, you know, it's a big question mark. It, you know, it's alluded to, but not ever told. So they have to, there is something, it's some mystery they have to suss out. Apparently, there's a novel called The Day of the Locust by Nathaniel West. Have you ever heard of this book, Matt?
I haven't.
Neither have I until I read this. And apparently, the main character's name is Homer Simpson.
All right, we get it now. That's where it came from, totally.
Yeah, obviously. I thought it was interesting. Apparently it's about a lovable goofus who's trampled at the end of the story by a crazed Hollywood mob.
I could see that happening. Whatever.
Yeah. And apparently there were, someone included a bit from a promo that was cut from the show, heard on the radio ad, Lisa saying, "I never thought I'd see another woman in Homer's life." Bart responding, "What are you talking about? There's Sarah Lee, Aunt Jemima, Mrs. Butterworth,
etc." Oh, great. Now I'm hungry. Thanks.
Well, I'm going to eat as soon as we're done. And finally, I think it's very funny, is that they went to the Googleplex, right, to see the movies.
Of course,
a lot of talk about Googles. What exactly Google is, and I think that's this is of course long before Google.com existed. So very funny. And with that, I think it's an excellent segue to our next segment, which is simply the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
No Google Trivia Challenge is part show where Matt and I will challenge each other, as alluded to in that title, with trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard, and see if we can stump the other. We usually take theme suggestions from you guys. Got one this week from Izzy. Izzy Steak Fries, friend of the show. He works at a beer distributor, so he sent a beer theme or an alcohol theme. I just chose it as alcohol in general because I think it gives us a little bit more to work with. And he gave us a few questions of his own, which I will get to after we are through with ours. You start us off, Matt. I think I started last week, so give me an easy one.
All right, easy one. In the episode Hungry Hungry Homer, where does Duff plan to move the Springfield Isotopes to?
Albuquerque?
That is correct, and there is today an Albuquerque Isotopes team, so if you live out there, feel free to stop by and say hey.
You ready for an easy one, Matt?
I am.
What is the name of Duff's mascot?
You mean the greatest mascot of all, Duffman?
Yeah, that's who I mean.
Just making sure. Wasn't one of the seven Duffs.
No. What is, bonus points, what's his name?
Oh, you mean the actor's real name?
No, the guy, the character's name. Other than not Duffman.
Right, yeah. I'm trying to remember. No idea.
Barry Duffman.
That's right. Damn it.
Sorry. It was a bonus. That was a bonus question. Hit me with a medium one.
All right, your medium question. In Homer versus the 18th Amendment, what does Moe's rebrand to avoid suspicion?
Moe's Pet Shop?
That is correct. Remember, baby turtles and alligators may look like cute pets, but they grow up.
Rex better.
That's right. Oh, the, I can't wait for that episode. All right, Robbie, what do you got?
Also in Homer vs. the 18th Amendment, what is the last line spoken in the episode?
Oh. Huh.
Think about the theme, Matt.
Last line. Oh, is it the to alcohol the cause of and solution to all of life's problems?
That's right.
You okay. Got it.
Whew.
For some reason,
to alcohol.
All right, you ready for your hard one?
I'm ready. Let's see if I get it. I have a streak. I've gotten one. Let's see if I can get two.
All right. In the episode Duffless, where Homer is forced to go 30 days without drinking, at the end of the episode, when his 30 days are up, he goes to take a drink, but instead does what with Marge?
Goes on a bike ride.
That is correct.
With, let's see, raindrops are falling on my head.
You got that the song, bonus without me even asking. Man.
I love
what,
that scene.
What happened to you? Become a genius all of a sudden.
I've eaten a lot of Fruity Pebbles this weekend. Does that count? Does that help me?
That
does
absolutely
that make me smarter?
Counts. And now I want Fruity Pebbles. Uh-huh. Thanks a lot.
Fruity Pebbles are the best.
They really are. All right, hit me.
We have some weird synergy going on.
Oh.
In Duffless, name all beer samples available in the brewery tour.
Oh, God.
There are, I'll give you the number. I'll tell you how many there are. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names I'm looking for.
Goodness gracious. Okay. Duff, Duff Light, Duff Dry, non-alcoholic Duff.
That's not in that episode.
That's not one, no.
Duff Zero, Duff, that's Duff Zero, I believe.
Zero, yeah.
That's in a different episode. That's in Homer versus the 18th Amendment, right. Actually.
Oh, Raspberry Duff, a Lady mm-hmm. Duff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
Two more.
The gummy beers count?
Gummy beer is one.
Okay.
One more.
Shoot. I can't remember it.
Tartar Control Duff.
Tartar Control, of course. Blast. You've conquered me once again.
I have to make them pretty hard for you to stump you, Matt.
Uh-huh. All right, what are these questions I need to know?
He's got a good variety of them, so let's see. Number one, Homer's Barbershop Quartet, Barney and his Yoko, end up at Moe's. What drink does Barney's date ask for?
Oh, it's something in a man's hat with a plum in the middle of it. Oh, God. What was the actual drink?
It doesn't have a name.
Oh.
It is just a description.
Oh, just beer?
No, it's a single plum floating in perfume.
Oh, in
perfume.
A man's hat. That's... damn it. All right. Fair enough.
In The Simpsons Files, Homer is in the mood for something other than Duff. The beer has a taste he can't put his finger on, yet he owes a drink on 10 bottles. What is this brand, and what gives it its flavor?
That is Red Tick Beer. Needs more dog.
Yes, dogs swimming in the brew tank.
Oh, that's great.
And this is a pretty easy one, because we are literally doing this episode. In Colonel Homer, Homer takes a long drive and ends up at a bar in Spittle County. They don't serve Duff there. What is the bar's name and choice beer?
Oh, you said the name of the bar, but I don't remember it. But the beer is definitely Fudd.
It's Beer and Brawl.
Beer and Brawl, of course. That sounds like a great name.
And it is. And lastly, what is the Duff Beer slogan?
Can't get enough of that wonderful Duff?
That is correct. That is
correct. Yay!
I have one more question. This is from Chris, who just happened to send in also some Duff questions, one of which I don't know the answer to. So, sorry, Chris. I told you. I've already I had a disclaimer once. I am the dumb. If I can't find it, if I don't know the answer and I can't find it, nothing I can do about it. But I will. I do know the other one, so I can ask that one. Name all the Duff characters. You know, the seven dwarfs of Duff, basically.
Well, it's obviously Surly and mm-hmm. Tipsy and mm-hmm. Remorseful.
Yep.
And Queasy. Four more.
Three to go.
Those are the only ones I can think of.
So you got those four. So the other three are Sleazy, Edgy, and my personal favorite, Dizzy.
Dizzy, of course. That one I feel like I should have gotten. Shucks.
But, yeah. So I...
Oh, what was the other question?
2 weeks, the other question is, what are the Duff ingredients?
Oh.
And I just want to say regular beer ingredients. I'm sure it says it's explicitly somewhere in one episode where exactly the ratio and stuff of hops and all that, but I don't know it off the top of my head. I couldn't find it with a quick Google search, and I can't ask Matt. I just asked Matt, and he doesn't know it either. So
that's true. That is a fantastic question. We would love to know the answer.
Yes. So Chris, please reach out to us. Yeah, please let us know what the answers are. Like I said, the dumb. You guys can send in questions that I'll use. Theme suggestions. I always like to hear those. On our social media, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Follow us on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod, and email SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Got a whole bunch of questions just came in, but I promise I will eventually get to all of them. We have 500 episodes to go. We will make their wall. Well, I guess half of them are trivia, but again, still plenty of time for all these trivia questions. There's almost, it seems like an infinite amount of them. So Matt, with the trivia challenge over, it is time for the segment we end every show with, and that is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is a good one, Matt. Where it is.
I'm looking towards the top, to be honest with you.
How far up are we looking at?
That's the tough one. I'm trying to think. I'm looking somewhere probably around probably the Lisa the Greek. I feel it's another Homer-centric episode, a good of Homer and Lisa interactions. But as a solo Homer episode, I think this one kind of... it's somewhere in that area. What do you think?
It's tricky. I defended our selection of Homer at the Bat above Separate Vocations on Facebook simply because I thought Homer the Bat, like, it has 9 guest stars. And they managed to all be funny, all have their own little tiny arc. Like, you know, Steve Sachs gets arrested and Ozzie Smith is in the mystery spot and Jose Canseco. Like, all of them have, like, oh, they start here and they end here. They all go through, like, a little tiny story themselves. That's the first time that I can you think of another show that has done that, Matt, in period, in television?
I really can't.
No, you can't. And that, like, I try and I love Separate Vocations, and that's the kind of the argument. Like, that is one that's close to my heart, but, like, I'm trying to, like, I try and do great on degree of difficulty. Like, Separate Vocations is just a very simple, like, it's Bart and Lisa story. They don't have to worry about fitting in 9 different guest stars, including one that wants his story rewritten.
Yeah.
Jose Canseco. So, I don't... We're getting to the point where these episodes are so good, it's really hard.
It's very splitting hairs.
Yeah. Like that, it is in that, it's in that general area from 6 to 10. That's where I would definitely put this one. I have to put Lisa the Greek ahead of it. I just love Lisa the Greek so much. I think Homer the Bat, it's certainly not as emotionally centered as this one. And I think I'm trying to weigh against, like, it's easy to say. I think I like Homer the Bat more. Separate Vocations is very, I don't know. It's somewhere in, I think it's better than Bart the Murderer. Is it better than Separate Vocations? What do you think about that?
I would say yes, because they have a guest star they use very well, Not Us Herself. These songs, which, you know, are a staple of good Simpsons episodes, are extremely well done. It's got gags here and there, and it's got that emotional core that, you know, us old-timers appreciate. But I would definitely say it's better than Separate Vocations.
Okay, so can you cotton to that, Matt? Right below Homer at the Bat, right above Separate Vocations?
I do believe I can cotton to that.
All right. Do you want me to go back into that voice? I will.
No, please, God, no.
Okay. So, new number 8, Colonel Homer. Oh, man, this is so tough. I can't believe it. We're only in season 3. This is going to get so hard. except from the real ones we absolutely adore, but...
Or the ones we absolutely hate. There's so many.
Yeah, you guys, if you guys are upset with our ranking now, wait until we don't put Marge vs. Monorail number 1, and everyone's going to, what? How dare you? Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. It's okay. It's just a couple of nerdy guys putting things on lists. Don't get too upset about it. We certainly don't take it too seriously.
No.
So new number 8, Colonel Homer. Lisa Substitute number 1. Homer's Odyssey number 55. Oh, poor Homer's Odyssey. It will be supplanted eventually. We're going to get there. I can't wait for that one. That'll be a couple, 200 episodes away or something. But, you know, we'll get there. I post this list on our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find pretty much everything about the show there. Links to new episodes, downloadable and streaming. You can find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter. If you don't want to hunt us out, links to the RSS feed. If you want to plug that into your podcast app. If you want to find us that way, you can contact us, comment on new episodes, and of course, donate to the show. We'd love for you to do that. It really helps us out. Simply a labor of love on our part. What is our next episode, Matt? It's a good one.
I just wanted to let you, those of you out there, know and remind you that you can always write us in for my favorite episode. And I think maybe this next episode, Black Widower, might have some of you. So just a quick reminder, if this is your favorite episode, get that in there.
Yeah, Black Widower, Sideshow Bob. Man, it's a good one. Ranking this is going to be really tricky.
Yeah.
Although, I already have my Sideshow Bob episode. I know it, which one I'm going to put. We already had that discussion, though. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixedMasterCereal. It's MixedMasterCereal. You can find all my cat's pictures there. It's very important. Check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. And this, you know, iTunes, all those places. Matt is not... blah, blah, blah. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
No, but I've been taking correspondence courses in Psy. So if you think really hard in the Central Florida area, I might pick it up. I even bought an EM meter just so I can know when people are calling me.
I don't know what to say about any of that, Matt. EM meter? Is that science now? That works?
Yeah, absolutely. If there are ghosts around, it will tell you.
Oh, good. If there's ghosts around, you'll find them. Okay.
You can get one and put it next to your bed so you always know when someone's watching you sleep.
So many things I can't express. But with that, we'll call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.